as I was saying before we were interrupted, we'll be back after these messages.
With January just around the corner, the holidays will soon be over. But don't put away your party hat just yet. Plan to travel with Piedmont and the American Express card. Call Piedmont today and you can celebrate savings of 30 to 70% off January fares. Fares to everywhere Piedmont flies. So plan a trip to the snowy slopes of Colorado or one to the sunny skies of Florida. And wherever you decide to go, take along the American Express card. Its spending flexibility makes it the ideal travel partner. And since it's so widely accepted, you can use the American Express card for everything from your Piedmont tickets and hotel rooms to restaurants and rental cars. So if you're not ready for the festivities to end, hook up with Piedmont and the American Express card. But if you want to travel in January, you better call Piedmont or your travel agent now. Because the party's almost over for our low January fares.
Testing. Testing. Am I on? Okay. Hey, Vernon, this is your old buddy Ernest, and the guys at the radio station here have let me come in for a minute to make this important announcement. here goes. Okay. If you are within the sound of my voice, go directly to any of them Brick Church locations. At Brick Church, you'll find a humongous selection of brand name electronics. Big, too. We're talking TVs, VCRs, stereos, major appliances. Brick Church has more bargains than the fourth grade's got spitballs. Know what I mean? Brick Church, Vern, where you'll save mucho dinero. Comprendo deja vu? And now, Vernon, here's a blast from the past from our classic stack of wax.
A great gift idea. JVC cassette deck TDW11. Just $88 only at Brick Church.
Do you know where you can get a Famous Make 19-inch color remote TV for only $219?
ANS.
But only Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m.
It's all part of ANS Saturday Only Gift-a-thon.
It starts with two-hour ANS specials from 8 to 10 a.m. only, like Famous Make remote VCRs for just $189.
Panasonic dual cassette stereo racks for $189.
Full-size microwave for $249.
A Sharp AM-FM stereo dual cassette recorder for just $59.99.
8 a.m. to 10 a.m.
ANS, etc. Terrific.
Eddie Murphy, he raps like Mr. T.
I heard you did some jokes about me.
No, you didn't.
Maybe I didn't.
He talks like Michael Jackson.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
He sounds like Bill Cosby.
I would like to talk to you.
He's Park Richard Pryor.
Tell Bill I said have a Coke and a smile and shut up.
But he's all Eddie Murphy.
Let me tell you something else about Eddie Murphy. He ain't nothing but a bus. Oh, hi, Eddie. How you doing?
Raw, the movie. From Paramount. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parents. Now playing at a theater near you.
Eddie was only rated R. We've got a rated X radio station this afternoon.
Are you Dennis Elsis and almost dressed once again, Mr. Muni?
You know, that seems to be true of life, isn't it? You know, when you have a lady like that here, how quick it comes off. And then it's about an hour to get it back on, you know?
You know, Scott, aside from the pleasure and joy that it is for me and I'm sure for Pete to be here today, listening to people talk about the first time they met you and the first time they worked with you, and of course this day, just to remind everybody, because we haven't done that in a while, it was 20 years ago today, December 18th, 1967, that Scott Muni did his first program, same slot, although it was a five-hour shift in those days, 2 to 7. Here at WNEWFM, and if you've just joined us at 6 or 7 minutes before 4 o'clock, we have been celebrating all afternoon. Dave Herman was here, and Jonathan Schwartz was here. We finally had to get him out. Pete Fornital and myself are here right now to celebrate with Scott, all a prelude to tonight, which is, I mean, what a great way
really?
That you're...
We didn't plan this at all.
Not at all.
Because when I contacted you guys and asked you... You know, instead of doing like we do in London or over at the Hard Rock and have a lot of music people here, when I asked you guys if you would come up and celebrate my 20th with me, I mean, I really meant it. And then only last weekend, all of a sudden the light bulb lit, because we had not completed all the arrangements for the Christmas thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't planned that it would be this day. But boy, you know, tonight is a... Whew.
And
I know it.
also, you know, that the band we have tonight, in many ways, I'm going to get sidetracked here for a second, but when you think about it, Yes, at our Christmas concert tonight, one of the groups that Scott has been most associated with through the years almost throws me back, Peter, to that first Christmas concert with Genesis back in December of 72. The parallels are remarkable. But
absolutely.
Anyway.
I think the part of the point that Dennis wanted to make, Scott, was that to limit this celebration to just the 20 years of WNEW-FM would not be doing justice to those of us whose awareness of you goes back even a little bit further than that.
Now, to me, that says Scott Muni, Scotland's Yard, WMCA Radio, lying in bed with a transistor in my ear, listening to you, 7 to 11. What years was that, Scott?
Well, you got the late 50s for sure. That's when I first arrived in New York, and that record was Tommy Watts and the Grasshopper Jump. And I don't want to say this, but I'll be truthful. It's a British record.
Wow.
It was not an American record, and I found it, and it was just, I used to talk about having a pogo stick, and that music was like somebody bouncing around on a pogo stick. You know, you can hear it going boing, boing, and and I used it for a theme. Get it?
Sure.
God damn, there's a pogo stick jumping all over the place. And I don't know, it was happy and so forth. I don't think anything ever happened with a record or anything, and it was, whatever you call it, funky jazz rock, early stages.
But what incredible years on New York radio, right?
Sure.
If Alan Freed wasn't spinning it on one channel, Scott Muni was on the other.
I think four top 40s going at one time with WMGM, WINS, WABC, WMCA. And what an exciting time to be coming aware of not only rock and roll, but also of radio as a means of expressing it and exposing it. And a lot of people owe a huge debt in your direction for that, certainly, Scott. So.
And you know, when Pete and I both joined the station, Pete joining in 69 and Dennis joining in 71, we had, and we kid him about this, but we had grown up listening to Scott Muni. That's no joke. We really did. He helped to form our rock and roll heritage and our radio heritage both. I lay in bed or, you know, again, because it was a night show, I'm thinking late at night, listening to Scott play some of those incredible records, the very backbone of rock and roll in the late 50s as we know it, and a lot of the crazy things that Scott did on the radio, Make It or Break It and Muni Money and Clyde Award and all that stuff, that was great radio.
And you know the irony here? My parents, the station that they listened to, and still to this day, WNEW-AM, so we used to have to fight for the dial to go from 1130 down to where you were. Or
you mentioned something that I have to do immediately at this moment because there are a lot of people who don't know this, maybe more than I suspect. But who was my inspiration? Okay, you're saying, well, then I'll tell you who it was because you mentioned his name, Alan Freed.
Sure.
I took Alan Freed's show when he left Akron, Ohio, to come to New York. I got that seat, this huge, magnificent chair, and I inherited what Alan Freed had started. That was the right to play records, and these records that other people wouldn't play. One, black music. Two, rockabilly music. Three, all these funky records. And so I got in that chair, and it was a big chair, and it was about a year and a half later that I followed Alan into New York, and we became friends. We became very close friends. And but the thing that Freed had, and he was a very individual solo person, he had this thing where he loved music and he wanted people to hear it, and he, of course, is credited with rock and roll, mm-hmm. the term.
That's right.
And he picked it up from his black friends because that was sex in bed, rock and roll, baby. And the whole thing that happened, I mean, everything that happened to me really And the fact that I came to New York a few years after, 2 years after Alan Freed, was just something more to all that. And Alan died at a very young age, 42. But it just, you know, it's like, you know, he was my inspiration.
Passing along that legacy is part of what it is all about, Scott, so that is for sure.
Now, from WMCA, Scott Muni, 7 to 11, right? Leading
yep.
into the Barry Gray Show, of all things.
Yes.
A good guy becomes an All-American.
It was, you know, they were very, everybody was straight. And, of course, as everyone knows here, I still mess around in the halls and when we're not on the air. I mean, I have always liked to be a little loose because I'm a little wacky, but the things that I used to try to do in New York, and everybody know, that was, you don't try to break someone up or you don't do, you know, but I did, you know. And the part of this is having fun, you know. I mean, you just can't be serious all the time. So I was usually in trouble.
Well, as Pete just said, what did you say? Good guy becomes the All-American?
Yes, indeed.
Maybe this might trigger a few memories.
He's an All-American on 77 WABC.
Number one in the nation, the Scott Muni Show. ABC is the station on your radio. The hits are the latest, solid gold the greatest, the Scott Muni Show. You said you're gonna meet me.
The Shirelles, and one day they showed up and said, Scott, you know, you're playing our record, and we had a big hit, and then another record, and we had a hit and all that, so we did something special for you. And I thought, well, and Florence Greenberg was the head of Scepter Records, and it was very unusual and unique to have a woman running a very successful record company, Scepter Records, and the Shirelles and some other acts that they had. And the reason I knew Florence Greenberg was because her secretary was Inga Freed.
Wow.
Alan Freed's wife, and Inga was a beautiful person, and this is before Alan died, of course, but she was involved in the business, and so here the Shirelles came up with that song, which was a huge number one hit, adapted to my show and all, and I really fell over. It was great. And it's one of those, I guess, collector's items, because I have been an All-American and a good guy. Now, not too many guys have, and I've also been a bad guy. Those jingles you never heard, see? Everybody always thought, I'm a good guy, I'm one of the good guys. And I was also one of the bad guys, and they never made T-shirts. That's an idea, something new, bad guys.
You've been classic. You've been on the cutting edge. That's now, right. Wasn't there this point in time when you had left WABC?
Yes, and radio.
And it was November, Peter, you give me the date on that.
November 9th, 1965.
You got a phone call and were asked to drive to a transmitter. The lights had gone out. Weren't mm-hmm. you asked to go on the radio?
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, I had what was then called a dance club and all, and I had the Vagrants and Rascals and a whole bunch of people entertaining. I had kind of done that, and I was getting along all right, but I really missed, you know, being a disc jockey and being on the radio. So WMCA called me, Ruth Meyer, who was program director, and asked if I would go to the transmitter, because no one would know what to do, and go out there and talk and play records, because power had gone out, and they understand that there was this terrible thing where all the lights were out in New York, and I already knew that because anybody in New York knew the lights were out. You know where the transmitter is, Scott. Would you do that? And I did, and I went out and played records and talked from the transmitter.
You just reminded me of something. Leslie West tells the story of the vagrants auditioning for you at that club that afternoon at the precise moment that the lights went out, and they thought that their amps had done it.
Yeah, that's right. So did everybody else. But when we looked outside and there were no traffic lights and there was nothing, I mean, it was the first.
That's right. Now, having the experience of one blackout under your belt, the next one in 1977, yeah. July, should have been a little bit easier.
Well,
yes?
Scott, you know, it was 9:33 or 9:34 in July of 1977,
right,
that I was on the air, and I was playing, of all things, the Electric Light Orchestra, swear to God. And on the New World Record album, one cut kind of leads into the other, and it goes, and it went, and we were off the air from 9:33, 9:34 for the whole night. Of course, we broadcast from the Empire State Building. Well, everybody worked all night. Nothing could be done. Late in the afternoon, 4:30, Scott Muni to the rescue. Up to the top of the Empire State Building with Mitch Katz on that July afternoon. Mitch Katz, one of the long-standing WNEW-FM engineers. And as if by wizardry, I think we have...
That's Cat Stevens, and we're at our transmitter site, Scott Muni, here at WNEW-FM in New York, and... if you are just with us, you already know what's been going on for these many hours. You know about the problems of the city, and we're back on the air, which is kind of nice, although many parts of the city do not have power at the moment. We are in a room that is one we're unaccustomed to, equipment we're unaccustomed to and all. But we will be doing music, and we will be giving you information. At this moment, there is the possibility that up until midnight, many parts of the city will not be back to normal. There is a possibility we may not be with you either, because if they lose power again, we will disappear. I have a small microphone here and a small turntable and just a little setup where... We are able to talk to you and tell you we are back on the air after many hours of absence, not due to anything else other than another historical event for New York City that'll be written about and talked about and motion pictures made about, albums, and no doubt there'll be a song. Someone right now is writing the song, or already has written it, about 12 years after the first one, here to 1977, the blackout of 77, which of course broke all the records of the previous blackout. And it is warm, and we have music for you. We are WNEW-FM in New York. If you would like, I think it might be a nice idea to tell some of your friends, since we are sort of a family, if you will talk to your friends, give them a call since telephones are working, and say, NEW-FM's back on the air. And we do intend to give you all sorts of news. What is going on? What's going on now is a lot of people are talking about what happened or why it happened and why, you know, things didn't work out the way they were supposed to. At any rate, we will have music for you, and we'll do some more right now.
Falling on.
is, after all, the English hour, or the English 2 hours. We never quite figured that out. One day the English hour became the English 2 hours, but you don't have to explain that today, Scott. No problem. Anyway, that is Procol Harum going back to a 1971 album,
Mr.
Fornatel.
Yes, indeed. Power failure. How appropriate.
How couple of massive ones we had in New York, all right.
You know, and you were listening to Scott Muni as he was recorded. He didn't even know that he was recorded that day.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that existed till just now.
Good friend of yours, Steve Leeds, actually made that recording, gave it to me years ago, and we saved it for this very moment.
I took 10 LPs up to the transmitter, and there was a little box sort of turntable affair and one little tiny hand microphone. And until you guys, I think it was you, Dennis, that some people brought in a few cassettes that we could play from a machine that went from here to the... The reason we were at the Empire State Building instead of here was because power was restored to 34th Street.
Right.
But not above.
Right.
And so the lights were on at the Empire State Building. The power was on, but not at 35th. And it was kind of strange because I was on top of the Empire State Building looking out at these massive fires. Fires in the Bronx and in Brooklyn, and I mean, I got scared because I was afraid that things were really going to get out of hand this time. In the dark, people turned to evil, and there was a lot of that. There was tremendous theft, there was break-ins, there was arson, and looking at it as if from, you know, someone from another planet looking down saying, there they are destroying themselves, you know, and it was frightening. But the music kept me going. I only had 10 LPs, but boy, you know, I just start on cut one and let them go. Let me go, baby.
It's
great programming, you know.
You know, before we get too far away from this and out of the time frame, I think Dennis and I both wanted to do something that Dave did earlier, which was talk about the first time we met Scott Muni. In my case, it had nothing to do with WNEW-FM. It was at a place in the Bronx, sir. Called?
Well, let's see. In the Bronx, Fordham.
No. Nothing to do with Fordham.
Okay,
my
well, I went
grounds.
To Fordham. I spoke at Fordham several times in the Bronx, so was I at the park?
I'm going to mention a name here that's not going to mean anything to a whole generation of listeners, but will tickle the memory banks of another generation of listeners. Freedom Land?
Oh, my God. That actually, yeah, that's the Bronx. No, it was the Bronx.
Disneyland East is what it was supposed to be.
It definitely didn't turn out that way.
It did not turn out that way. It turned into an apartment building.
No, wait, Pete. We met at Freedom Land.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yes, as I recall, shows used to be done there from the Moon Bowl or...
The Flying Saucer.
Flying Saucer,
yeah,
right.
That's where I was in the Flying Saucer.
But there was also the Grand Old Opry
House. Yeah, there was that big stage, right.
And it was at the Grand Old Opry House. You were doing your show live from Freedom Land on an evening in the early 60s, and I came up with one of those WABC postcards and got your autograph. That is where we first met.
Okay.
Dennis?
I'll have mine right after this.
It will only happen one more time this year. An incredible sale, a spectacular one-day event.
This is Dennis Elsis, along with my friend Pete Fornatel, and we are having a great time joining Scott Muni on his 20th anniversary. 20 years ago today, Scott started on the air here at WNAW-FM. It's a cold but a clear, beautiful day with 37 degrees. I think we're going to have just fine weather for the Christmas concert tonight.
Absolutely. We should mention to everyone who's coming, because all of us are going to be there. This is sort of a prelude to what has always been a wonderful night, and something I'm glad we started those many years ago. And we ask you, if you're coming, if you can afford to bring a gift wrap for one of your favorite people, a boy or a girl, something they will enjoy at Christmas. And that's part of our night, which has been magical for these years, and all the wonderful people who have been part of our... That's the audience, I mean, all the people who have attended our concerts. And, well...
Concert begins at 8, and we are inviting you to come as early as 6:30, am I correct?
Right. Doors open at 6:30.
And we'll be in the lobby in the Meadowlands and around a large tree, accepting your gifts for needy children.
The entire staff of WNEW-FM.
Just before we went on the break, Pete had told that met you, he met you many years back at Freedom Land.
Freedom Land. Now, see, I didn't guess that. And the next question, I said Fordham, and I said the park because but that was later. We did concerts up there.
I know what's coming.
White Castle.
Could have been White Castle.
Yeah, because anybody that went to Fordham or lives in the Bronx has had to go into White Castle. So I thought, okay, next, because I stopped at every White Castle in the Bronx, Allman, Queens, and everything. For belly bombers throughout most of my life because I got addicted to the little square jobs, you know.
Jimmy Monahan, do they do takeout?
Yeah, sure.
Phone up an order.
Oh, God, no. Please. Not today. We got the concert to end tonight. Can see everybody about 6 feet above the stage. But anyway, that was the only thing I was going to guess next. Freedom Land is now Co-op City.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to tell the folks who are living in Co-op City, but every time it rained at Freedom Land... If you didn't bring boots, you were in deep trouble. That was like a swamp.
Oh, dear.
I hope they drove a lot of piles up there. Okay, now, Pete told his story. Dennis Helsis, it's your turn.
Well, we never really met until June of 1971 when you had me in your office for a meeting, and ultimately you hired me in June of 71, and I showed up and we chatted, and I was very excited and very intimidated and ultimately very impressed with it all. That was June of 71, but maybe this letter, Scott, which is the first correspondence I ever received from you several months prior to that, maybe this can help everyone who ever applied for a job. This is, well, you can look at the letter and you can read the date and you can read it.
Dear Dennis, thank you for submitting your resume and audition tape. Unfortunately, we are fully staffed at the present time, and I do not contemplate any changes in the immediate future. Thank you, though, for considering WNEW-FM, and I hope you will find the fun and success in the future that I found in radio. Good luck, and peace, Scott Muni. And this was dated April 27th, 1971, and the stationery is WNEW-FM, Metro Media Stereo, Scott Muni, Program Director.
That's right.
We were located at 230 Park Avenue, and I remember your smiling face coming in to that location for sure. You know, that was that fort. That building is that famous, beautiful building where you see the cross.
That should give hope to all of those people out there who have ever been turned down for a position.
That's
or who are.
What I wanted to point out to you. You know, this is my letter of thank you, but we're
no
not.
Thanks, yeah.
Thank you, but no thanks. Anyway, a couple of months later, I was lucky enough to join and be interviewed and go on to working here. And you mentioned 230 Park Avenue. We have had a series of addresses in our history at WNEW-FM. And we are at our current location, 655 3rd Avenue, since May 1st of 1979.
That's right.
April 30th, or thereabouts, was our last night at our old address, 565 5th Avenue, a very famous building on 5th Avenue and 46th Street.
Remember that.
They were
The call letters outside.
Yep, they were unpacking. They were. It was a very well. Anyway, Scott, let's go back. I was on the air 6 to 10 in those days, and I think this tape will speak for itself.
It's a weird Monday around here. This is Dennis Helsis, and as I mentioned a little bit earlier, today is a special day for all of us here at 565 Fifth Avenue. This is scheduled to be our last day of broadcast from this facility. I say scheduled because you never know about these things. Sometime late tonight, early tomorrow morning, we are scheduled to begin broadcasting from our new studios, which are over on 3rd Avenue, 655 3rd Avenue. And I asked Scott to come back after he had a chance to get some dinner and talk with you and talk with me a little bit because... certainly of all the people that have been here, he has been here since the beginning. And while this is not really the end of anything regarding WNAW-FM, as you know it, we'll still be at 102.7, still playing all the records we've always played. It's a little nostalgic for us. Thank you for coming over.
Dennis, you know, everybody out there has had to make a move. Apartment, probably, or from an apartment into a home. And it is a drag. I mean, there are so many problems. I mean, we're in the studio now, and there is an echo that people can hear on the air that they have not heard from this station in a long time. We don't have an echo on our transmitter or anything else. It's because our 10,000 albums out of the wall are now gone, and we're kind of in a very famous place.
if we remove this wall right here in front of us, which I'll try to explain to the people, this studio is actually where we are. It used to be one studio. It's now two. No, it's three. There's a little hooky-dooky studio up there, but the three were one before, and it was called the Make-Believe Ballroom. And in people who have been around radio in New York for a long time would recognize that name, Martin Block's Make-Believe Ballroom, and other people did it later, but this huge, massive space used to be for one guy to play a couple of records, and he had an engineer and a director and a producer and everything else, and now Dennis Elsis, who's on the air now, is his own director, is his own producer, is his own engineer, and his own air personality. So it's a little different, but even in this smaller portion of the space, you can hear sort of an echo, and it means we're leaving.
Yeah. I checked with somebody in the newsroom earlier, and they told me that WNAW has been in this particular building for 33 years.
The FM, of course, is a newer innovation, and when they got into that thing, we all found ourselves a job.
When you started here, when you joined WNAW-FM, as they were changing from having been an all-girl or woman format, which Allison was a part of, playing
female-type people, were for 2 years they tried that.
Yes. Very soft, mellowish, they would call it today, rock. But when you helped start up the rock portion of what has become WNAW-FM, you originally worked here at 565
Yes.
Fifth.
Yeah, we were here, right up in that little area that we can see from here. It was very small and quite compact, and so we found it difficult, so they moved us to 230 Park Avenue, which is a grand and glorious New York building.
People who drive down Park Avenue now
see
know
that building.
It has been
always
just newly lit.
Oh, yes. And also, they had one man paint the gold on that building. And we were there for a while, and that was the one time this radio station, and a lot of our listeners listening now remember, we used to be able to look out a window.
That's right. But why were we on the 13th floor?
That was a building that was not superstitious, and they had a 13th floor. They still do. And very few buildings in New York have a 13th floor. And we were there for a couple of years, and then we had subleased, and we were looking for a brownstone.
Yeah, I remember those rumors that we were going to have our own brownstone.
Yes, and then hard times hit all of industry, so we came back home here because AM radio was still here, and they had space, so they found us a little
hole in the
card
wall
here, and we came back into the make-believe ballroom, and we